Good morning, everyone. Today we have a, first of all, our designated collection today is for the Maquantico Food Pantry. All loose coins and bills and any check with Maquantico Food Pantry written on the memo line will go to the food pantry. And we also have a special announcement by John Kuhn on behalf of stewardship. John?
Morning and welcome to our the start of our fall church year. As was said, I'm John Kuhn, and with Rick Sternkopf, we're going to be sharing the stewardship responsibility this year. And in the spirit of our year-round stewardship format, these comments will be really brief, and you'll only hear from us in a service twice a year. So this is our third year of doing year-round stewardship at LCUC, and the concept's really simple. Attend a fun and informative half-hour meeting after church service just once a year. Then you'll have the information you need to make your annual pledge. You give it some thought, turn in the pledge card within the month following, and you're done for the year. So the year-round stewardship, it smooths out our church finances. And rather than having this annual fund drive once a year where you get the big bump in the budget, so over the course of the year, we're better able to keep the board informed about how the income of the pledge income is worth doing. And the board then is better able to thoughtfully plan out the budget, which is kind of a win for everybody. People tell us they like this system better than the annual pledge drive where you get the phone calls and all that kind of thing squeezed into this short window. And the increase in contributions, generosity last year, shows that these meetings with laughs are better than meetings with blood. So we try to have a fun atmosphere in the meetings, and so you'll be in one of nine small groups, group meetings spread over the course of the year, and you get to hear what other people are thinking, and you can ask questions about church finances. We'll try to get you up to date on that. And all that collectively, collaboration kind of helps bring us together too. So please try and attend your assigned meeting and understand you might not be able to, and if that's true, we'll let you know when the next one is. Work with us on this, and then there won't be any follow-up phone calls and threats and the annual pledge drive format. So life will be good. So bottom line, it's very simple. Attend a short, fun meeting. Be a better informed member. Turn in your pledge card. And as always, we welcome your input on the process, and so let us know either during the meeting or at any time. Thank you so much.
Today's order of service includes announcement of upcoming LCUUC activities and events, and everyone is welcome to attend. LCUUC is a UUA affirming and welcoming congregation, and we are open to all people, regardless of whom they love or what pronouns they use. Come and explore what community can mean for you. Please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics you may have with you here today as we begin our service. Thank you. to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature, so that creation may not need to play to an empty house. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our opening hymn, number 1 in the gray hymnal, "May Nothing Evil Cross This Door."
What a question we have this morning. What does it mean to be truly beautiful? And how can we approach this transient beauty as a spiritual practice? There is a Navajo blessing which says, "May you walk in beauty," which at its very essence is the spiritual practice of beauty. It is not a reflection or society's definition of beauty, but rather a path that you travel on, the perception of how you see what surrounds you. It is an inner reflection of life. Thus, the first aspect of the spiritual practice is to work toward a new definition of what the word means. And we're going to do that a little bit today. We begin with knowing that there is beauty everywhere and we simply need to discover it. When we know it is there, the experience of beauty can be felt in the physical, simplicity rather than complexity. Taking away all the old excuses and definitions of why something may not reflect beauty can be difficult. Our routine habit of seeing the world by society's definition causes us to become lost in a rut. It narrows our mind. It can be startling, stimulating, or soothing. It can be cultivated, nurtured, and experienced. Beauty is not simply an adjective. Welcome to today's exploration of beauty as spiritual practice. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the beautiful people around you this morning.
Hey, no, the other one.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Barb Adams, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. There are so many ways to experience beauty. Assembled here in this sanctuary are thousands of memories of beauty, hundreds of pathways to beauty. Each and every one of them is welcome here. Sometimes we find beauty in the most unexpected places. When we are open and welcoming, that's what happens. Particularly with our fellow creatures. And so we sing, "How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful?" And we welcome your beauty into this beautiful community. Whether you are with us for the day or here for a lifetime, we are glad that you have chosen to join us in worship, community, and celebration.
The lotus is the most beautiful flower, whose petals open one by one. But it will only grow in the mud. In order to grow and gain wisdom, first you have to have the mud, the obstacles of life and its suffering. The mud speaks of the common ground that humans share no matter what our stations in life. Whether we have it all or we have nothing, we're all faced with the same obstacles, sadness and loss, illness and dying and death. If we are to strive as human beings to gain more wisdom, more kindness, more compassion, we must have the intention to grow as a lotus and to open each petal one by one. As a church, over and over, we stand in the mud of challenge, and boy, sometimes we just sink in it. We stand in the mud of obstacle and struggle and work and physical reality and bills. And in order to grow in that mud, we open up petals of programs and structures of support and worship and teaching. We open petals of joy and community. It is your work, your hands, and your pledges, your offerings, your sweat, that allow us to bloom so beautifully. We send out our offering baskets today, and I ask that in some small way you share in our giving ritual and you help us to blossom. If I could have the ushers, please. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do and for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this church. We couldn't make it without each and every one of you. As the church of the open mind and the loving heart, we are here in part to bear witness and to hold one another in the moments of our lives where we are at our most fragile and our most beautiful. We are a community of human hands and human hearts, and this is the time in our service where we minister to one another. It's the time where we speak briefly about the good and the bad happening to us and to the world. And before the service, you're always welcome to come up to the candle table and silently light a candle. But during the service, we speak aloud together and our worship associate lights candles for us. So if you'd like to share a joy or need to have us be with you in holding a concern, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a microphone. I'd like to light the first candle today for the people of Texas suffering in the storm and the aftermath.
This is Chris. I'm the Director of Religious Education here at LCUUC, and I'd like to light a candle of joy. Our new website went live on September 1st, finally. Yes, yay. And I don't know if Leanne is here. Oh, I see her. I'd like to ask Leanne just to stand up, and we recognize the hard work she put into this website, which I think is phenomenal. So thank you, Leanne. And also, if you haven't been on it yet, there's a video that our Ethan Soor, who graduated last spring, put together about our community here. It's phenomenal. I watched it 5 times in a row, and I will watch it 5 times more. I think it is phenomenal. So thank you, Candle of Joy.
This is Jerry. Would you please light a candle of joy for all the folks who came over here yesterday morning to help with the cleanup and fix up in the facility here, both indoors and out. We did a lot of dusting and polishing and vacuuming and touch-up, and we also did some work out in the fire pit area, so that's all ready. We have for next time we try to have a fire. And I assure you we'll be doing this again because our spiders never rest.
Morning, everybody. This is Al. Two candles, please, Barb. One for Jerry, who just spoke. You guys in this room and others should go to look at the Dear Editor section of the Econimwalk Enterprise. You'll find a letter from Jerry in there that gives you an interesting viewpoint on the wall. I'll say no more. Go find it. It'll put a smile on your face. Secondly, it's always a pleasure and, frankly, a shock that my daughter wants to come back home and visit me, and Hillary is here today, so a candle of personal joy.
Kaya.
I guess the choir director, and I want to light a candle of joy for the campfireless campfire singing we had last night. We thought drowning was probably a drawback, so we had the potluck, a wonderful potluck inside, and then kind of circled around and imagined a campfire, and it was warm and wonderful.
Hi, this is Matt. Candle of concern for my mom. Last Christmas, she fell and shattered her femur and had 2 surgeries at that time to fix it. She spent 3 months in recovery, but somehow her quadricep didn't stay connected, so she has to have another surgery this coming Monday, the 11th, next Monday, to have that reconnected, and she will probably have to be back in the nursing home for 3 months for recovery again.
And we light the last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold deeply in our hearts, but which we haven't spoken aloud here today.
From Resort to Beauty by Joseph Robertson. One method of surviving emotionally as an intellect, as a human being refusing to give up humanity, is the resort to beauty. Beauty, though mysterious, undefinable, even variable according to a subjective experience, is woven into every aspect of life and lived experience. Maybe it is the poet's province alone to take on the burden of working this through, seeing it always, being aware of the most menial, severe, and terrible beauties. But the poet's work has resonance because it conjures up a latent awareness of improbable charms hidden among the tortuous threadwork, the causeways of consciousness. It is in such resort to beauty, which is focus, engagement, comprehension, not escape, not isolation, that one gains perspective as to the worth inherent in certain choices, certain moments, certain sorts of activity. One can put aside any excessive regard for the empty and meaningless. One can put aside the overtly, even stupidly selfish. One can put aside ambitions that have to do with conquest for the sake of conquest. In such conditions, freed from the strictures of want, zeal, and frustration, the mind is better able to recall itself, better able to see the value of actual human beings, actual life, actual interest. Through beauty, not artificial but real, present, and deeply experienced beauty, one is better able to find a genuine relationship to one's world. Here ends the first reading.
To a social worker, the master said, "I fear you are doing more harm than good." "Why?" "Because you only stress one of two imperatives of justice, namely, that the poor have the right to bread." "Well, what's the other one?" "That the poor have the right to beauty." Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
What to Do with Beauty by Reverend Karen Johnston. What to do with beauty, or joy for that matter, in the midst of tragedy, of violence, of cruelty? What do we do with the living? Give each their due. Do not lose ourselves in any of it, but find ourselves anew. Where there is beauty, amplify it. Where beauty is hidden, reveal it. Where beauty is ruined, restore it. Where beauty is absent, create it. This will be our gift to our aching world. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 108 in the Gray Hymnal, My Life Flows On in Endless Song.
What does it mean to be truly beautiful? And how do we approach that transient beauty as a spiritual practice, even when it looks a little different? Holistic physician Brad Nelson says this about beauty. He said, experiencing beauty does something to restore your soul. And regular exposure to beauty makes us feel alive, in part because beauty is what we were made for, and in part because beneath the broken surface of our lives, as Thomas Merton would say, beauty is a reflection of who we are. It's a reflection of what the world is, and I know no better way to describe what I sense in moments of beauty than the word wholeness. Nelson says that when we encounter something that we find beautiful, it pushes us, just for that moment, into a wholeness, what he calls a renewed capacity to call forth the hidden loveliness of all things. She's just been told that the filmmaker finds her beautiful. In his book, Original Blessing, Episcopal priest and writer Matthew Fox is more direct. He says, beauty saves. He says, beauty heals. He says beauty motivates and beauty unites. Beauty returns us to our origins, and here lies the ultimate act of saving, of healing, of overcoming dualism. Beauty allows us to forget the pain and to dwell on the joy. But what does it mean to be beautiful? Look at the faces on the video as we go through and think about that question. What does it mean to be beautiful? Whenever you see two shots of the same person in one screen, they're the before and after shots of a person being told that they are beautiful. Is beautiful perfection of form like this little girl? Or is it the face of a model without a flaw in designer clothing? Maybe. Maybe we see it naturally in a dog or a flower or the face of a child. Maybe we don't all agree on what we find beautiful, what some of us find beautiful, others find frightening. Maybe the shirt you find beautiful makes me think of an explosion in a paint factory. And the flowers that I love look to you like dull black and white weeds. Maybe what I find beautiful startles you. So what is beauty? If we put an artificial flower and a living flower side by side, is one more beautiful than the other? In Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Suzuki says this, that things change is the reason why you suffer in this world and become discouraged. But when you change your understanding, when you change your way of living, you can enjoy your life in every moment. The evanescence of things is why you can enjoy your life. The evanescence of things is why you can enjoy your life. Change as the source of beauty. How unexpected. The idea that the changing nature of physical things, the process of aging, the process of change, the evanescence is the reason for joy. Because the world is ever changing. We can see it as lovely, no matter how startling it may be. Lewis Richmond says, a plastic flower is superficially pleasing, but only the living flower, shedding its petals, fading away at the peak of blossoming, is truly beautiful. This insight is the aesthetic dimension of Buddhist teaching and also a source of its ethics. And when we appreciate every person, from Sikh to Muslim to Jew to Christian to atheist, every person as fragile and precious, we don't want to hurt them. Instead, we practice the first precept, non-harm, and we are more careful and more kind because we see the beauty. The video playing on the screen is a series of images. Some are perfect, traditional images, and some are departures from the Western ideal of beauty. Every one of them is beautiful because they are a representation of a changing being in a moment of time. Our biological imperative causes us to be drawn to the form or image that is most regular and even, the one most like our hardwired biological template is the one we find pleasing, simple utility, continuation of the species. Requires us to look for health in the beings around us, but we are more than utility. Why do I want to see you in person rather than just on a Skype call? Why is a concert great and listening to a CD or MP3 routine? Why is a home-cooked dinner better than the same meal served in a diner? We are more than what biology calls us to. Beauty is more than just a call to aesthetic perfection of form. That's the wrong way around. We do not see perfection and think this is beautiful. We see beauty. We see that little girl's face. And it makes us feel joy and forget the pain. And so We call it perfect. In creation spirituality, Matthew Fox says we all share beauty. It strikes us indiscriminately. There is no end to beauty. For the person who is aware, there is no end. Even the cracks between the sidewalk contain geometric patterns of amazing beauty. If we take pictures of them and we blow up the photographs, we walk on beauty every day. Even when things may seem ugly around us, even when things aren't what we expected, they're beautiful. This is the spiritual component of beauty. It has to reach beyond mere biology that calls us to perfection alone. It has to call us to a higher sense of being. And in order to understand and explore beauty, you have to actively participate. You have to be pulled out of your mundane moment of existence and into something greater. Paul Avdokimov says that any contemplation of beauty that is strictly aesthetical falls short of true contemplation. True beauty requires a religious act of faith, an active participation into the transforming beauty of the divine. In Gardening Eden, Matthew Abade writes, "Here is the barometer for us to monitor in ourselves the extent to which we can recognize and appreciate beauty in our lives may indicate the condition of our walk with the Creator. And the closer we are to walking with the Creator, the more beauty we will see in life." He notes that many people fail to see the beauty around them. The beauty gets overlooked. We walk right by it. He says, it's as if we are forced to remove the scales of materialism and entertainment from our eyes so that we can see the beauty in God's universe, the beauty that's intended to fill us with joy and rest and inspiration. Beauty lets us experience wholeness, and true beauty is absolutely personal. It's beyond generic ideals. It rests in a woman's face. It rests in a man's hands or a child's smile. Our world has degraded and detached concepts of beauty. We've made it all about objectification and commodity. The challenge is to move beyond the hollow shell and to reapproach the entire concept. The experience of beauty is more important personally than the object or person you find beautiful. It doesn't matter. You can find beauty all around you. You can find it in the face of a homeless man sitting on the bench. It isn't dependent on accepting some religious doctrine or another. By its very existence, it calls to our higher nature. It connects us directly with the transcendent, the ideal, and the divine without the trappings of dogma or belief or liturgy or prayer. The beauty we see in life does not dictate some kind of faith. It places value on even the littlest, effervescent life. And it reminds us that we are more than biology and ego. Everything changes. But in this moment, at this point in physical space, this person or thing or place is in harmony. This person may be a felon, but in presenting his beauty, he is whole. And in seeing whatever it is, just for a moment, you too share in that perfect wholeness. A transcendent moment of direct religious experience. Tinley Finn says it more beautifully than I ever could. Unexpressed moments of our lives can be sanctified through beauty as they are in religion, because they endorse these realities through a representation of things not seen. Through beauty, we find grace. Joanne Dodson writes, beauty is a celebration of is-ness. It's a celebration of beingness in that we experience it in the now. And every moment we recognize beauty in our lives, our souls are fed, no matter the source of the beauty. Feed your soul. Look for the beauty around you every day, not just aesthetic perfection, but the unique beauty, the broken beauty, the aging beauty, the beauty that comes in the middle of ugly or different, the beauty that doesn't look like you, the beauty that comes in the middle of pain. See beauty and be beautiful. Amen. We have just a moment for a polylogue. If you would like to share, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
This is Gus. Thank you very much for that. I would like to sum up what I got out of that, is that beauty is in the face of the other as other than me.
Yeah.
This is Bud. I would like to agree with the former statement. It gave me a new way of looking at beauty, but I would like to modify the interpretation a little bit. it will give me more pleasure when I look in the mirror.
Do you have anybody else?
Thank you, Amy, for sharing those thoughts. And so I think the focus is in the beauty of our humanity and our fellow creatures. And I would add that beauty and its somehow definition also in my mind, there's a lot of nature and music that fit in the word beauty to me. And that's probably an entirely different topic, but it's part of it. And the music that went along with the pictures, I think, is just part of that. So thank you very much for your message.
Yeah, hi, Annie. It's Carl. And I really liked the reading earlier that made the statement that the poor have the right to bread, but that they also have the right to beauty. And I've kind of heard that theme before where, you know, if you only give poor people, you know, used clothes or, you know, very plain food, that's very wearing on the soul. And it may, and then people kind of get angry when they see, let's say, somebody who's on assistance that has maybe a flashy outfit or a nice meal that, you know, on some level that maybe that's as important as just basic needs to have some beauty in your life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ironically, I was about to comment on that same part of the service. It really is something to think about how we make judgments about what someone deserves, you know, based on, you know, our singular perception of them. And I think beauty really does help us to cope and contribute in beautiful ways to society. So it is a right. You know, I do believe it is a human right.
This is Lynn. You know, I work in the area of women's health, and so this is, you know, the advertising world, you know, that portrays beauty objectively is bothersome, and thank you for this service, and I really would love to see this type of message just instilled in children as they grow older, because it's so brutal to watch kids who feel like they don't fit in because of what they look like and what that does to their self-image and their moving forward in life. So thank you.
Do we have anybody else?
This is Phil. First of all, beautiful. I just love the whole sermon. It was wonderful. The other thing, though, as I look at pictures and I just really look at each face, and I think, what strikes me about it? What is it? And I think when you really look at someone, it's the connection that you're making with them that instills this beauty, this just like wonderful. And no matter how different the picture is, it's the essence of connection that you look at someone and you have this empathy towards them. And that fills me with that love or that beauty. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
This is Claire, and thank you, Amy, for the service. Watching these pictures, it reminded me of a scene from the movie Erin Brockovich, where one of the people that Erin Brockovich was helping was a victim of all sorts of things, water pollution and things like that, where she was afflicted by many forms of cancer. And she says to Erin, if I don't have breasts or female parts, am I still technically a woman? And Erin looks at her and she says, "Of course you are. In fact, you're lucky. You don't have to deal with maxi pads and feminine products."
Hi, this is Liz. Going off what Phil said, I feel like somebody's sharing with me when I can look at them like that, you know? And that's like an invitation. And that's how I see that connection is kind of a sharing and a back and forth. And a thank you for being so vulnerable. And, I love pictures.
This is Sarah. Thank you, Amy. That was lovely. And as a parent of adult children, it was lovely also to see Hillary with her head on her daddy's shoulder. And I couldn't see her face then, but the back of her was really lovely. And I know how much Al appreciated that.
I just wanted to share, this is Mayor, as a person who suffers from depression, as so many of us do in this country, that using beauty and beautiful things, beautiful people, wherever you can find it, is a really important tool to use to combat depression. And because so much about depression has to do with ruminating on negative thoughts. And I just pulled up something from Scripture that addresses that. It's from Philippians, if you don't mind. It's, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you." And I actually wrote a song about that someday I'll share with you. That,
nice.
That
thank you.
I, helps me when I'm dealing with that struggle. So
thank you. All right, we're going to do one last one here. Dave?
This is Dave, and I've always found, tried to figure out how to put these thoughts together, but a still picture I find is often lacking. Sometimes, you know, when it really captures an essence of something, that's great, but I think even one of the readings today, you talked about the evanescence, the change, seeing someone move, it's just so much more powerful and rich, and I find beauty and kind of the natural state of things, and it kind of saddens me when people feel the need to, you know, apply makeup and dressings and all that kind of stuff to their own natural beauty. But you know, but this is something I struggle with, because then I think, on the other hand, well, I suppose people should have the right to change their appearance if they want, but it's just something I struggle with as to how to value that decision that those people make, you know, for themselves.
Thank you. We're going to have to go on. We are out of time for today. Thank you all so much for sharing.
We extinguish the chalice, and may our chalice light always allow us to see the beauty all around. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn for this week, number 131 in the Gray Hymnal, "Love Will Guide Us."
Open side of us, we'll lead the way. On
May you find beauty wherever you are, and may it always soothe your soul. Peace, and may it be so.